Okay, welcome everyone. This is Dr. Joy Peterson, and I'm thrilled to have you all joining me this morning or this afternoon to celebrate the anniversary of Heaven on Earth. It is such a momentous occasion. It's a holy day, and quite frankly, even when it occurred originally, I don't think I even realized the ramifications. As I mentioned to some, I was trying to do a slide presentation, and I think even when I did the slide presentation to try to share that with you, it even drove the point home even more, the significance of all this and how it all tied together. So during the time we have together, I'm going to try to give you a lot of data and try to explain how this all came about and the significance of it and how it impacts you, as well as how you can capitalize on what this really means, because it is significant. There's a lot of information. I'm not even sure if I can cover all of it as much as I need to cover the highlights so you can really understand it. And for those of you who don't understand or haven't been privy to how all this came about originally, I'll share with you some little background on me, which really started when I was working in Hollywood at Paramount and realized some people were struggling where I wasn't. And what I realized was I didn't know it was supposed to be hard to break into Hollywood. When I realized that others were struggling, though, I wanted to find out what that reason was and why it was easier for me, and learned about the law of attraction. And when I started using that and teaching others about the law of attraction, I realized we all had blocks within us. And I wanted to look for a solution. And that's how I was introduced to spiritual healing in the first place, which is the tool and the gift that I ended up using for this work. So that's how it started. But all I really did at that time was work on myself, discovered that I had the ability to remember past lives, and saw where a lot of our causes of challenges started in other lifetimes. I left Hollywood after 10 years and wanted to make more of a difference in the world, but really ended up focusing my attention on teaching people networking, which is what I used to help break into the industry in the first place. But in 2004, I kept hearing this booming voice that was driving me crazy. It wasn't in my head. It was outside of my head. And I hear this booming voice, you're going to find out who you are soon. And it drove me nuts. I couldn't figure out why I was hearing that, what it actually meant. Because at that point, I thought I was pretty self-actualized. I knew I was a child of God. I was already, you know, spiritually evolved in many ways. But I kept hearing this voice, and then one day Archangel Michael stood before me announcing who he was and then telling me I was him incarnate, which quite frankly didn't resonate either. I didn't quite grasp all of that, but one of my spiritual teachers was with me, and I was so grateful for her because she was a clairvoyant, and she witnessed the whole thing where Michael put a banner over my balcony, headquarters of Archangel Michael. He put a belt on me like you would see in one of those Marvel characters or somebody, a comic strip where you see any this big belt and it says AAM. And he gave me his sword. And he asked me to join him in a healing practice and write his book, which became Wisdom of the Guardian, as some of you have read. So that started me down a journey that I had no idea where it was going to take me, what my purpose was, but it felt so natural. And then it became like Michael was my roommate. And we started clearing for mostly the people that I started really serving in my business network, because they were the first people I really admitted this all to. Up until that point, I didn't tell anybody that I could even channel an angel, and kept everything relatively on the QT. when he gave me his book, because I had already been channeling in automatic writing since 1994, that part was really easy, but I still didn't want to tell anybody I could channel angels. So here I'm sitting with this book and wouldn't tell anybody about it, and I realized I had to take myself on as a client and started clearing my own past relating to persecution, which was a major stumbling block for me sharing my work. I'd been beheaded in other lifetimes. I'd been burned at the stake. And nothing was pretty. Nothing ended well. So I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to really tell anybody. I didn't want to put myself out in harm's way. It's amazing to me that I'm even having this conversation with you at this point, because I was A, shy, and two, persecuted so much that I didn't want to share this information at that time. So long story short, Michael and I started working together, and I found during my practice that a lot of the people that were coming to me were old souls with a high purpose with some blocks. And I had the ability with the spiritual healing tool and gifts to be able to identify and clear the causes of their challenges and to help set them free. Another pattern seemed to unfold was that a lot of these people had connections with biblical stories. And some of them were the who's who of the Bible. And it was fascinating that people were coming forward, and I was given the opportunity now to clear some significant occurrences and stories from the Bible to set people free from those dynamics. And that turned out to be a major part of all of this. But for the purpose of what we're doing here today, I thought I'm going to try to put things in a chronological order so you can understand sort of the general path that we went down in clearing the history and the karma that was really negatively impacting humanity. So I want to start with actually the fallen angels. So as you probably realize, when Lucifer had this idea in his head that he wasn't going to follow God in a particular instant, he rallied up a bunch of angels to follow him. God said this is not what he intended, and had Michael throw them out, and they ended up on this planet. So that was part of the fallen angels. So they had the fall of the angels, which started a line of karma. Then we had Adam and Eve. Now, in my work, I also saw that evolution actually occurred. There were people on the planet, but they did not have a high self. So I need to explain how this works. Each individual has a high self, a conscious mind, and a subconscious mind. Your subconscious is where your record bank and computer is. So it's all the data that has ever occurred for you from the beginning of time is stored in your subconscious. So you have a high self, a low self, your inner child, your conscious mind, the mother aspect. That makes up your soul. It's your high self that remains in heaven, but is the part of you that has chosen to reincarnate on the planet. So I hope you're following me so far. So I would work in my work with the subconscious, the inner child, to access the records, to clear them in this process. But now going back to Adam and Eve, going through the evolutionary process, they didn't have a high self. So Adam and Eve were introduced carrying the high self, the God or Christ consciousness, to now mingle with the lower beings on the planet to introduce the high, more conscious mind, the high self. So that's where Adam and Eve came in. In a moment of temptation by this serpent, Eve eats of this apple, which God had said, don't eat of this tree. And that choice began the fall of man. So we have the fall of the fallen angels, the fall of man, The fall of man was influenced by the fallen angels and therefore started this karmic path where Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. Sin, shame, and suffering came in, which are really very low vibrating energies. So this karma began. The sin of the father born upon the children, which is considered ancestral karma, also began. So we now have all this karma that's influencing creation and humanity. So over the years, what Michael and I have been doing is clearing this karma. The only way you can clear karma is if you have a connection to the story. So Michael has been around from the beginning. So we've been able to clear and identify the various stories and then clear them. If we didn't have a connection to the story, but a client did, we could clear it through the client as well. So basically, we had been clearing a number of these stories that all started and were based in the fall of man and the fallen angels. So now I want to bring you up to 2012, which is a very pivotal year because many were anticipating that was going to be the end of the world. The interesting thing is when I was a child, I knew I'd be here for the end of the world as we knew it. I didn't think I was going to die this lifetime and knew it was going to be the last lifetime I was on the planet. Always believed in reincarnation, always could see ghosts, aliens, angels, and demons. They were not fun to deal with as a child, actually caused me a lot of trauma, but I had no idea what all of that related to. So I have all the answers, or a lot of the answers now, which is great because it now ties it together for myself, but I didn't realize at the time that a lot of my history happened to be connected with world history, or that my role was going to be as large as it turned out to be this lifetime. So anyway, back in 2012, I had a feeling that I should take a one-way trip to Los Angeles. Now, I lived there once before for 10 years, as I mentioned, and I was now living in New Jersey. But because it was a one-way ticket and there was no end in sight, I asked one of my friends, a colleague who is an angelic channel, if I should go. And she said, yes, you're supposed to go and you're supposed to meet somebody who's going to change your life. The funny thing is, a single woman, I'm thinking, oh, this is great. You know, I'm supposed to meet some guy. So I go to a conference and I actually invited the woman who was also my spiritual mentor, who was there at the time that Michael came through originally. And I had met her in LA originally. So it was kind of a natural thing that we should go back together. And she went to this conference with me. So I was there for 3 days. And on the third day of the conference, I hear a man's voice being mentioned. And I'm going, oh, that's the man I'm supposed to meet. So I said to God, I said, well, you know, I don't trace men. So if you're wanting me to meet this guy, you're going to have to figure out how. And the next thing I know, my colleague comes out and says, the guy's in the hallway, you know, come talk to him. So I go out into the hall. He immediately invites us to dinner. As it turns out, he's holding a conference the next weekend. And the funny thing was, we go into the like a dining room that seats around 12, like a small conference room. And I put my bag down next to my girlfriend. I go to the restroom and I come back and the whole room is completely filled. My purse has been moved and the only seat is next to him. So I sit down and at this point, I'm pretty open about sharing. I communicate with angels at this point. So he and I start chatting and he said, you know, like, how'd you get here? I said, well, the angels had instructed me to come and they said that you would help me. So I'm going, okay. Here I am. So now he's selling a conference that weekend, and that's what the purpose of this whole dinner was about. So I enroll because I'm guided to go. And during the week, prior to that, my girlfriend, who I said was more clairvoyant, says, you know, he is Lucifer. And I go, oh, you're kidding. So now I'm totally unglued. And I call up my other girlfriend, who's the angelic channel that told me to, or confirmed me to come out in the first place. She goes, he is Lucifer. And I'm going, oh, great. So I don't know what to make out of all this. It kind of unglued me. So anyway, I'm going to this conference because I'm still guided to go. So during the week, when I'm channeling, I get a message from God. And it's, dear so-and-so. And it was God's invitation for him to return home. So I'm going, great, now I'm supposed to deliver this message to this guy. So I'm going, okay, well, this makes sense. I carry the soul of Michael. Michael announced I was in him incarnate, so it makes sense that this guy might be Lucifer incarnate. So I go to the weekend, I see this guy, and I said, I have a message for you. I'd like to talk to you at some point. And he agreed. So 3 o'clock on Sunday, we had an appointment to meet. 3 o'clock came. I was a wreck. I have this message from God to deliver to him. We sit out in the hallway, and I said, well, I told you the other day that I channel God, angels, and others, and God happened to give me a message for you. And I know you're in the middle of a conference, so wait until afterwards, and then you can read it then so you're not distracted. And he had a VIP event in his suite after the conference. So I went. He had the message. I have no idea whether or not he read it. I was still at this point on pins and needles and didn't know how this was going to occur. So nothing happened. And then I talked to my friend back east again the next day, asking her, I said, did he read the letter? She said, yes, he read it. He read it a number of times. He spent 20 minutes thinking about it, and he even showed it to other people. And usually, according to the angels, people give him things all the time because they're always trying to get him to invest in something or whatever. He has a lot of money. He's a lot of influence. And so people are always pitching him on something. But she reported, she goes, he only gives them usually 10 seconds. So this was a monumental experience for him. So that's all I know. But he still was in the dark. He didn't turn to the light at that point. But the conference was over. I go back. I'm staying with a friend of mine. And about a week or so later, Michael comes to me and says, I'd like you to go to Las Vegas. This guy was having another conference there. He said, if you go, you will help write the last chapter of the first book, which turned out to be the Book of Life, and help release a lot of people from hell. So I go, okay, you know, it's part of my job. I'm going to go. So I still don't even understand all of this. But I go, I do my job, I go to Las Vegas, and on 12-12, just before 12, I hear Michael say, the last chapter is written, the book is closed, and I start to cry because I knew it was significant. I'm sitting in the middle of this conference, and fortunately, there was a guy sitting next to me who they all of a sudden said, you know, share with the next person. So I tell him what happened, and I'm crying, and I don't usually cry, and he's giving me a big hug, and it was the whole thing was so surreal, but was so interesting. The whole time I wore a black watch. That black watch stopped just before 12, and I've never been able to change the battery and get it running again. It was the end of an era. It was the watch for the old era, and it was done. That was it. It's over. I felt so complete. I felt in awe. I didn't know what all of this meant. Went back to New Jersey at this point to celebrate the holidays. Went back into my regular practice. And now I just was doing my regular calls with clients until we were getting closer to Holy Week. And at that point, I thought, gee, this is interesting. People are calling me and they're saying, in meditation, I felt I needed to call you, or God said I needed to work with you now, or I felt compelled to work with you now. I was getting all of these similar type of calls that were over and above my regular clients, and it was fascinating to me. So that particular week, so now we're in March 2013, Monday night was past the beginning of Passover, and that coming Sunday would be Easter. So on Monday, I open up and I'm guided to clear with martyrdom. And the woman who called me was, this is the first time she and I worked together. The story of Abraham and Isaac came up. And what I got out of that story was that God did not test Abraham asking him to sacrifice Isaac. It was Satan who manipulated that story. And I thought, oh my gosh, this was a story that almost stopped me from taking on my calling, because when God called me to work for him in my 20s, the story of Abraham and Isaac came up, and I said, I can't work for God. I would like to work for God, but if God asks him, somebody, his child, to kill her own child, what would he ask me to do? I couldn't do something like that. And I had fear of serving God. Well, as it turns out, that's why the story was manipulated by darkness, so people wouldn't serve God. Over the years, I've cleared umpteen curses that Satan put on humanity, one that humanity wouldn't know God, another that anyone that served God had a curse against them. There was, I don't know how many curses I've cleared relating to him, but here is a story where the actual story that's written and taught was manipulated by darkness. And the other thing that was significant about it is, so often people who channel are construed to having wrong information or work for the devil. Some of the Christians where I live now have been taught that if you can channel, you are talking to the devil. Well, any time you can channel, it's like picking up the telephone. It could be a salesperson, somebody asking for money, or it could be your best friend or family member. It could be anybody on the other end of the phone. You just have to learn to discern and figure out who is on the other end of the phone. Well, that's the same thing with channeling. I've been blessed because I've known other people who can channel, and I can confirm data with them, and I have often. But the problem is, not everybody has that ability. If Abraham is the only one that's channeling God at the moment, who is he going to confer with? So anybody can come through. And it's a matter of discernment who you're picking up. So I learned to recognize the different energies of who's coming through. And fortunately, I've got Michael protecting me all the time, so it makes a huge difference in what is able to come through. So we cleared martyrdom that day. We cleared that story. On Wednesday, Michael asked me to talk to one of my clients and ask him. He said, we need you for about a half an hour, and we're going to work on oppression. So that night, I open the session, and the next thing I see is a funnel of angels appear. I see a picture of the world. I see a hole being bored into the center of the earth, and almost like a straw being put into the center of the earth, represented from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, stood around the circumference of this hole, and these angels created a funnel above them, and this liquid light was poured into the center of the earth, and as the darkness was released, it went up through the funnel of angels. I just was reporting the news to my client. We both held the light, and when it was done, I was told to get off the phone. But at that point, we cleared oppression and the 12 tribes of Israel. The next morning, I'm in another session, and I'm given by a farmer a sapling that represented the new tree of life. Later that day, I was guided to schedule a call to release suffering. So our focus was suffering, and when I did that call, the funny thing was, before we got started, I'm told, go get an apple. And I'm like, I'm not a big apple eater. And I've never done that where I've said, okay, I've got to stop my session before I get started and get food. But I got the apple. The next thing I know, we're clearing with Adam and Eve and focusing on the forgiveness and restoration of what happened at that time. And then Eve came through for 25 minutes. And I don't remember most of what she said, but I'll remember this like it was yesterday. I turned away from God once. How many times have you? And that has been the problem with humanity from the beginning. We've turned away from God, who has our best interests, all the knowledge, all the connections, as all the resources, but we go into our head and we think we can figure it out on our own. But she has often been blamed by many that it's all her fault. But even if it was, we didn't have to follow and do the same thing. So when people look outside of themselves to others for answers, they are void within. When void within, they will be swayed by anything that makes sense at the time. Serving and satisfying the ego is simple. It doesn't take much more than a good argument. And that was a comment that Jesus made to me not too long ago. So we cleared with Adam and Eve. We cleared that with suffering at that juncture, also the crucifixion. And God forgave all in regards to the crucifixion. The rift between the Jews and the Christians was healed in that session as well. The next day, I was guided to clear serpent energy, and we had a volunteer that was willing to participate in that as well. So in that session, I opened up the session, and all I saw was black. I didn't hear one word. I saw nothing. But that's what we were guided to clear, was the serpent energy. So we cleared with the apple, the serpent energy, temptation, the cause of suffering, and that was clear as of Good Friday that week. Also on that Thursday, however, I was requested to call a couple that was also part of some of these clearings to meet me at the Paramus Mall, so some of you Jersey people would know where I'm talking about, in the Century 21 department store in the mall. He and I could buy watches, but we couldn't buy them before 12. We could pick them up before 12, but we couldn't buy them until after 12. Again, 12 is always this number of spiritual completion. So I found a watch immediately. I helped him find the watch. We were online at 12:01. His wife was told to buy water and apple cider and to find a table for us at Whole Foods. So we bought the watches and we met over at the Whole Foods. We found a table outside, and we're inside the mall, but outside of Whole Foods. So we were kind of by ourselves. That morning I was given a toast, And I was guided to share the toast with all three of us drinking the combination of apple cider and water, which is a spiritual process to rebalance the masculine and the feminine energies. So we had the toast aligned with the divine within your own heart to access all there is, which now is a saying that goes along with the new tree of life, which is given out energetically. What was so cool when I did the actual slides was I saw it all tied together. Like here we had the Adam and Eve in the beginning and the apple, and now we had the apple at the end and clearing Adam and Eve, and we brought back the masculine and the feminine energies. We rebalanced all. We cleared martyrdom, oppression, and the serpent energy and suffering. And I thought this was like God giving me such a gift this week, unfolding this so magically. It was just so unbelievable to be part of all of this. It was just extraordinary. But the most extraordinary part was I left my friends after doing this toast and chatting for a little while. I walk outside of the mall and I see the streams of light. It just looked like if you had those 3-inch paper streamers coming down. It was so thick. All this light just poured down to the planet, and I hear the words, today is the first day of heaven on earth, and I couldn't believe it. I was so amazed by the whole thing. It didn't mean an awful lot at the time, though. It was just, I didn't know how to wrap myself around it. So then I went back and I celebrated Easter the next day, but Michael came through and said, today the earth ascended. And then on the next day, I heard God say, I now own the world. And I know that seems kind of hard to understand because God's always been in charge. But the dynamics of it are God gave everyone free will on this planet. So everyone chose to look outside of themselves. As they chose to look outside of themselves, it gave way for others who wanted power to insert themselves. We went more into the intellectual mind and separated ourselves more from God. So based on thinking, we always started thinking about what could the answer be, and you're either listening outside of yourself or basing your decisions on what happened in the past, so what your past experiences were. So the planet became more and more dark, giving the influence to those who wanted power. And we stopped going within and getting our own answers being connected from within. But since more and more people were waking up, they opened the door for God to come back in and more light to come into the planet. And although this was planned for a long time, there was always a time limit apparently given to the world and how this was all going to play out. And we were about that era. We were now in this time frame when all this was to be healed, to be able to bring in heaven on earth and move things forward. So here we are at this most pivotal time, and I'm sitting in the middle of it all, which to me was amazing to me, and what a privilege. In the middle of trying to understand all these dynamics, God had explained to me in each dimension there needs to be a key role, advocate, and responsible party for the lives and outcomes of the situation sought to heal or correct. And I was just that person. So, and he also was explaining, my assignment was a big one. He says, you conveyed an opening to reach through the conscious mind of the person who carried the soul of Lucifer to the soul of Lucifer that started a path opening to his heart and soul. So it was significant to clear with the darkness, because until we cleared with the darkness, we were always going to continue this battle over the light and the dark. When when I had asked Michael about how this all started, he elaborated that when he was created, they felt there was a need at the time because they were starting with creation, the idea of what was better, the nothingness that creation came out of or what was created. So they started this debate. So they had the Prince of Darkness and Michael, who was the Prince of Light. And as Michael had said, there always has to be balance between the negative and positive, which means neutrality, peace, no friction. All in balance always. When too much energy pressurizes either side, there is imbalance and no longer any neutrality. This battle between he and I started long before Satan and Lucifer got into the mix. The darkness represented nothingness. The light represented all. All came out of nothingness. The idea of all or nothing came from here originally. Judgment appeared as to which was better, that which was creating or that which it had been created from. So the ego was born of what could be and what was deciding whether or not one had more value than another. These energies became passive and aggressive representations of all and all that was possible out of nothingness. Evil came out of there when it became the idea that you had to defend either position. So defending a position was where evil came. So all this evil had developed over time, and every time I did any kind of a clearing, I saw that arrogance was part of the downfall. When I was also clearing, I saw that Lucifer became arrogant, and that was his downfall. Satan was on the other side of it. Two different angels, often considered the same, but the Prince of Darkness, Lucifer, and Satan are all three different individuals I dealt with separately. So we cleared the story of the Prince of Darkness and any imbalance there. So there was no longer an issue there. Lucifer, after this whole clearing in Holy Week, he turned to the light. I was guided to go to an event he was holding in New York. And then the next day, Michael announced to me that the rift between he and Lucifer has been healed. Lucifer turned to the light, and that was beginning his reprocessing back into the light. Satan, on the other hand, was someone that, while in heaven, God gave something to someone else. Satan took it personally as if he was slighted, felt inferior, so wanted to follow Lucifer when all of that occurred. So they both ended up here wreaking havoc on the planet. So fortunately, Lucifer turned back to the light, but unfortunately, Satan had not. And they were both much of the undoing of the planet. So in August, there was a decision that was being made by every soul, whether or not they were going to remain or not. And at that juncture, there's been deadlines all along for a lot of my work. Over the years, I've done thousands of exorcisms, and I've cleared with darkness, and I've transmuted souls, and I've turned some back to the light. But the battle between all of this evil has gone on and on and on. It was very tedious. And I did a major clearing of darkness that actually moved a timeline up from October to August. And then even because the Cabal had made a choice on Saturday night that they even moved the timeline up from Monday to Sunday. And at noon, I had to stay in while this was occurring. So there was this major clearing then. And then during the week, Jesus said through a colleague of mine that he's been identified in Afghanistan, and we are to now have our last battle with him. So on August 10th at noon, which is when this was scheduled for, I was suited up. I mean, I've had armor on me. Some people can see it, but I literally live with armor on me, protecting me during all of this work. And at this particular juncture, at noon, I was told I had to have a good breakfast. I had to get ready for this. The Army of God, who often shows up when I do major darkness. We had our last battle with Satan. He was extinguished, which means he went back into the light. He's absorbed back into the light where his personality no longer exists. So there are many choices along the way where people get to choose. Demons get to choose. Souls get to choose. They want to be reprocessed, or they don't want to deal with the reprocessing that they would have to go through, which is really facing a lot of the stuff that they had done, their undoing. So at that point, he chose not to. He did not want to be reprocessed. And at that time, he was basically a lost cause, but no longer a threat to humanity. So this was basically the end of all the darkness, the cause of the darkness. We cleared the cause of darkness. After that, I learned that we could clear now contracts that people had made with darkness, and also what darkness had created in targeting light workers and the undoing of anyone that was serving the light. And that set me down another path of clearing a lot more of darkness, but from another vantage point. Then in September of 2015, I was to clear a lot of the Jewish history before the Jewish holidays. And then, because the gates of heaven were open, Michael said that September 14th was going to go down as the official judgment day, the day that we all give up judgment. The major day of ascension was, or what some of the Christians anticipated was the rapture, was Monday, September 28th, 2015. And then Michael announced that the official first day of the new world was September 29th, 2015. Then God said on Monday, August 29th, 2016 at noon, that at this point, there was going to be a split between the old world, 3D, new world, 5D. So everyone who made the cut and ascended because they had a pure heart made it to 5D, where heaven on earth is. And then God announced that the trumpets had sounded and the time of tribulation begins. So the formal announcement of that was time of tribulation, where people are getting to really choose. So here, this is what this is Michael's explanation about the time of tribulation. It's the time of trial and error. For all those who have chosen to walk alone, doing things on their own, they get to understand what it is to be operating alone rather than one as one with God. When you are aligned at the highest level, doors open. When you choose to align with the ego, you struggle in many ways, unrecognizable as to its cause. The time of tribulation gives evidence as to what is to align with the ego versus aligning with spirit and the oneness within, where you access all there is. Seek truth from within, align with the intellect, and you struggle. You experience firsthand which works better. You witness what exists within heaven on earth and what you miss out on by not aligning with it. Those that surrender to the source within experience life of the highest possibility. Those that align with ego will continue to struggle. Doomsday is when the ego leads to darkness and the surrendering to the source leads to the light. You get to witness at this time work which works better and choose. The earlier you choose, the less trial, the less tribulation. If you are not aligned with to the ego and darkness, you have nothing to fear. So what you're witnessing now in the news is everyone that's operating in 3D in the dark. And then there's those of us that are in heaven on earth that can experience a whole different reality. So we're now in the new golden age, and we can experience the qualities of heaven in the physical, where the veil is thinned to more easily connect with deceased relatives, angels, ascended masters, a life of ease and effortlessness. We can experience peace, freedom, love, joy, and abundance. So how do we experience heaven on earth? How do we arrive at those qualities? It's really living into them as we speak. So surrender to the divine. Align with the divine within your own heart to access all there is. Live from the heart rather than the head. Come from love, let go of fear. Live in the moment, following divine inspiration. Remain detached when you're seeing the drama in the news. Raise your vibration and work towards the Christ consciousness, which Jesus demonstrated so beautifully. Let go of anything that brings imbalance. Return to and maintain a place of peace. Forgive from your heart quickly and completely. Know you are one with all that exists. So it sounds very simple. I know this is not that easy to always really arrive at all of this, and it does take work. It takes letting go of the 3D programming, really. Everything in 5D, you manifest faster, both the good and the bad. So we're still dealing with people in 3D, and we're carrying and operating from 3D programming often, linear thinking and basing our life and whatever we're to expect and experience based on life experiences from our past and our past beliefs. But when we can let go of that, there's no limitation in 5D or in heaven on earth. It's beyond the imaginable. There's supposed to be no death, no disease, no aging, perfect health, abundance. You all live in your ideal location with your perfect and right relationships and doing the work that you're meant to be doing. And you, like I said earlier, you can interact with those in heaven easier. So all of this, like my work now at this point, we've gotten this far. So my work going forward is now helping people clear their 3D programming and their limiting beliefs and their fears that are still part of the old paradigm, the old matrix, so everyone can experience heaven on earth, which is here. So it's here. It's like everybody has to get there, which is really just raising your consciousness. Heaven and hell, as well as heaven on earth, is a state of consciousness. So that's one of the, even the reasons why God asked me to do these calls the first Saturday of the month, was clear out all these old thoughts, old beliefs, limiting concepts, because the cause of evil and darkness has been cleared. The programming that was put in place from all the undoing they have done throughout all the industry, they've touched every industry, they've touched religion, they've touched everything. They have negatively impacted and created fear and limiting beliefs that don't need to exist. But because they do within people's subconscious, that's the programming that gets demonstrated still out into the world. Once you let go of that old programming, you are set free. And that's the significant piece here. It's all about your own personal consciousness and letting go of the past, which is why we set up some of these things like the group call on Saturday to help with that. But so that's going to be my work going forward, is helping people educate on these, where we are at this point, and how we got here, and the steps that you need to go in order to capitalize on the fact that heaven on earth is here, so you personally can have a life of love, joy, peace, balance, freedom, and abundance, which you deserve, and it's your divine right. So on that note, I'm going to take off the recording, and I'm going to answer any questions, chat. I don't have to go. I can stay on as long as the technology will allow it. So hold on one moment.